It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Red Sox Beat Podcast, presented by CLNS Media. That's your leading online video and audio expert for Major League Baseball. I'm the host of the show, Chris Cotillo from MassLive.com. I cover the Red Sox there, along with the guy who's going to be our guest today, Chris Smith. Chris in the car, as they might call him on the radio today. This is episode 231 of the show. It's August 29th. We have two sponsors today. It's betonline.ag, which is CLNS Media's preferred online sportsbook, and Indochino, the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. We'll be hearing a lot more about them later. But first, we welcome in Chris in the car. Chris Smith, how's everything going this week?
Hey, it's good, Cotillo. How are you? How is the West Coast?
The West Coast was great. It's Yeah, I think we talked about this last week when you were on, but that was the trip that you really wanted to go on. And unfortunately, for at least your travel purposes, you had a baby and were not able to go. So that was great. Worked out for me. Got to go to Petco Park and Coors Field. Now, actually, in Charlotte.
I got to change diapers.
You get to change diapers, yes. So it really worked out for me. I'm now in Charlotte for a fantasy football draft, and you're going to be remotely covering the series in Anaheim. So really, it just keeps coming up, Cotillo, and you get to come on the podcast and discuss it all with me. So that's great.
Sounds great.
So here we sit, August 29th, about a month left in the season. The Red Sox are 5 games back in the wild card. They have been 4-1 on this road trip so far. They won the first two in San Diego, dropped the finale Sunday, and really what was a bad loss, 3-1 in a game started by Brian Johnson, where the offense couldn't get anything going. Off day on Monday, head to Colorado and sweep a 2-game series against a bad Rockies team there. The Rays and the A's end up both losing last night. Red Sox are 5 games back, entering this very winnable series in Anaheim over the weekend. I know last week when we talked, you thought this team had no chance. Now, where do things stand in the mind of Chris Smith?
Yeah, I mean, I still think they have very little. I think they have no chance, and I'll tell you why. I wrote about it yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, the Red Sox, if they play, you know, if they go 20-9 the rest of the way, 20-9, then both the Rays and the Athletics have to go under. The Rays would have to go 500. The Athletics would have to go under 500 by 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look back, and everybody points to, say, you know, 2011, when the Red Sox had such a big lead over the Rays, and they blew it. Well, the Red Sox blew it. Not, you know, wasn't the Rays, you know, they took it. The Red Sox had to go, you know, 7-20 in September. So the difficult part of this is you have to have 2 teams collapse, Oakland and Tampa Bay, for you to get into that second wild card. It's not like you're just 5 games back. You are 5 games back, but you then have to lap 2 teams.
Right.
And that's the thing.
And Chris wrote about this yesterday on Mass Live, examining the Boston Red Sox slim mathematical chance to win the second wild card spot and the strength of schedule. Basically, you know, you said if the Red Sox play almost 700 baseball the rest of the way, both the Rays and Athletics also need to play under 500. So definitely unlikely.
Yeah, and you look at it, and the Athletics have such an easy schedule, and they've been known throughout their history, or let's just say their recent history, you know, with Billy Beane as a second half team.
Yep.
And so they have the easiest, you know, strength of schedule or schedule remaining of the, you know, of the 3 teams. They play 7 games They have 30 games left. They play 7 against teams over 500. They play 23 against teams under 500.
Yeah, and the Red Sox have 13 over and 16 under.
So, and the same with the Rays. That's the same with the Rays, too. So, you know, strength of schedule doesn't look great, and, you know, having to overlap two teams and have them implode, and you play 7-0 ball almost, is why I just think it's impossible. You know, as you texted me today, it still could happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think something really interesting. This weekend is a good chance for the Red Sox to pick up some ground. Down back five right now. The Rays are, I think the Rays are playing the Astros one more time today. Then they play the Indians for a three-game series over the weekend. You know, that's kind of a, you guarantee a loss for one of your rivals there because the Indians are also in play in the wild card. And the Athletics go to the Bronx to play the Yankees, and that's obviously a tough matchup for them. The Red Sox can beat up on the Angels, and maybe by the end of the weekend they're back three, something like that, heading into a really tough homestand. I think, you know, the consensus from the writers who were in Denver last night, we were talking about it, what really this comes down to is, yeah, the Red Sox can beat up on the Angels maybe this weekend, and maybe they'll be able to sweep the Giants when they come into town in a couple weeks. But what really is going to define the Red Sox season, this homestand against the Twins and the Yankees coming up, 7 games in a row against division leaders, really good teams, and great. I mean, the Red Sox have taken care of business. They won a series against the Royals, even though it took a couple of weeks to do it. They swept the Orioles. They won a series against the Rockies and the Padres, but this will be a big test, and they're going to need to win those series against the Twins and the Yankees if they want a shot at this.
Yeah, and they've played better on the road than at Fenway.
Yeah.
And so when you have, you know, I mean, they did take 3 of 4 against the Yankees, you know, going into the or near the trade deadline. They took 3 of 4 against the Yankees at Fenway Park. You know, so that's a positive when you look at that stretch.
Yeah.
You know, Minnesota is playing for their life right now because they don't want the first wild card. They want to, you know, edge out Cleveland. So, they're going to bring it. So it's going to be a difficult stretch of games. And, you know, that will define, you know, their September the rest of the way. If they're kind of examining, as I've kind of written about, examining things for next year, who can contribute, who can help out in terms of younger guys, or if they're going to continue to try to go down to the, you know, the final day.
Yep, and I think that's a good segue to something that we've both written about in the last couple of days, but Sunday's big day on the baseball roster, or on the baseball calendar, excuse me. It's when rosters expand to 40 players. This is the last year that'll happen. Starting next year, they'll only have 28 guys on the roster, which for us as writers with pace of play and everything and trying to get around a cramped Red Sox clubhouse is going to be a godsend of a rule, but we got to get through it. One more month in September. Didn't really come into play for the Red Sox last year. They obviously called some people up, but that was already when everything was out of reach. They had a huge lead in the division. Everything was pretty much clinched, and what that turned into was Zhuwei Lin, who has completely been forgotten about in the last few months, by the way, and Sam Travis hitting their first home runs on a meaningless night in Cleveland after the Red Sox had clinched. We were both there to see that. As Rob Bradford likes to say, we saved our tick stubs. This year, they are going to be, you know, impact players, maybe not the names that you'd expect, but guys that are going to come up, and they're going to be part of this Red Sox roster. I think obviously Alex Cora has shown in the last few weeks he's going to be really aggressive in how he uses his bullpen. So now he has the option to add, I don't know, 5 or 6 more arms to this group and really just go matchup by matchup in these grueling 4.5-hour games. I'm not looking forward to it. Alex Cora was looking forward to it when he talked about it, but it seems like come Sunday or come Tuesday when they return home, you'll have Mike Schwarren back up here and Hector Velasquez and Ryan Weber and all these guys that are meant to give you innings, and it's going to be just a disaster in the minds of the beat writers, but something the Red Sox think gives them a better chance to win.
Yeah, I noticed after one of the games I was watching, and I think it was Pete Abe, mentioned or asked Cora about them stretching Schwarren out because he has become a starter again all of a sudden.
And yeah.
His numbers were not good as a reliever, and now he's become a starter. So I wonder, if they bring up Schwarren and, you know, they put Johnson, they have him start and put Johnson back in the, the bullpen.
Yeah, Johnson's definitely in the bullpen going forward, Cora said yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't hear that. So.
mm-hmm.
you know, I look at this as an interesting time. I don't know. I did see that you posted something on this, but I did not read the article. Sorry. I was dealing
with... It's okay. No one does.
I was dealing with a bunch of things that a kid does, like poops and pees, stuff like that, mm-hmm. not to get gross. But
well,
did anybody ask him about all that?
Yes. That was I came up yesterday. He said the positional player side, the Red Sox are going to bring out Chavis, obviously, a catcher. So that could be Juan Centeno or Oscar Hernandez. I don't know really who's been better. You probably do. And then they're considering bringing up a right-handed hitting bat. Someone asked if that was going to be Dahlbeck, and he did not rule it out. So it is possible, but there's some other guys that could, you know, get that chance, whether that be Gorkys Hernandez, who we saw a lot of in spring training, Joey Carletta, who's on the 40-man roster that nobody really knows about. They obviously have Chris Owings as a right-handed bat that can't make contact on the roster right now. A couple other guys, Bryce Brents has been up here before. So I don't know if it's going to be Dahlbeck or one of those guys, but they are considering that in addition to one of the catchers and Chavis and then probably a handful of pitchers.
Yeah, I would say that it would be either Dahlbeck or Hernandez. And I'll give you a reason why it could be Hernandez is because if he become a minor league free agent, well, first of all, he's raked against left-handed pitching this year in Pawtucket.
This is Gorkys?
Yeah. He's raked against left-handed pitching. He has not had if you look at his stats are, you know, really ugly, but that's because he's been facing both lefties and righties. He's really hit lefties well, though. I mean, the numbers are off the charts against lefties. He has over 900 OPS. And if you were to put him on the roster now or before, I think it's, 10 days or something after the season, he can't become a minor league free agent, and you have control over him next year. And, you know, if you were to need a right-handed, you know, guy off the bench next year, he could be one. So I think it could be either I think it will be either Hernandez or Dahlbeck. Obviously, I'm hoping it's Dahlbeck, but I think it bodes well for Dahlbeck that they didn't, you know, send him to the Arizona Fall League. That could be an indication that it might be him.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing I wanted to get to because Tanner Houck is on the Arizona Fall League roster. We heard so much about him coming up as a reliever that was going to help this team. Does that rule that out, that he comes up in September?
I think so. They have sent a couple years back, they sent someone to the Arizona Fall League after he had been a September call-up. I'm having trouble remembering who it was. But I don't think he was on the initial Arizona Fall League. I don't think he was on the initial Arizona Fall League roster. So they made the decision after he had been up some in September to send him to the Arizona Fall League. The Arizona Fall League starts in September 18th.
It's a lot earlier this year than it ever has been.
Yeah. So I would think that would rule out Tanner. And I think that, you know, if you were to add Dahlbeck, you've got to add certain guys to the 40-man roster anyway this coming off season.
Yep.
You know, CJ Chatham. And so, you know, Houck is somebody that doesn't need to be, you know, added right away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's not Rule 5 eligible until 2020. November 2020. So I would think next year they would add him to the roster at some point during the season. Maybe he makes the club out of spring training. He shows a lot. But I mean, he's shown a lot at Pawtucket. I mean, I think his ERA is 2.45. And so he's really pitched well out of the bullpen, but they're not ruling out him, obviously, as a starter going forward.
Yeah, and obviously they already converted one of their starters into a guy who's become a dominant reliever in Darwinson Hernandez, so maybe they don't want to, you know, ruin all the starting pitching depth, especially for a bullpen group that has shown a few signs of life definitely throughout August. Here's some guys that could come up on September 1st, or like I said, I'm not sure that they'll actually fly a bunch of guys out to Anaheim for Sunday, and they might wait and just have them come up to Boston on Tuesday after the off day. Some relievers, Colton Brewer, Travis Lakins, Bobby Pointer. We have Mike Schworn, Hector Velasquez, and Ryan Weber. You add to that mix, Chavis will be up, and maybe Zhu Weilin. Like I said, I haven't heard a lot about him, but those are just some 40-man guys that could come. Any of those guys stand out as particularly interesting to you? I know you tweeted about Pointer the other day.
Yeah, Pointer's had a really good season at Pawtucket. His ERA, I think, is in the low threes. So that's not a really good season, but he started out not good, and so he's been a lot better, and that ERA's come down since April, and he's probably, you know, since April, if you were to calculate it, the ERA would most likely be in the, you know, low twos or mid twos. And, you know, I know he was working on some things, you know, trying to give different shapes to his breaking ball, things like that in spring training. It's surprising to me that, you know, they looked so highly at him last year, and he spent 80-something days on the roster last year. He's only spent 7 days on the active roster this year. So, you know, he's an interesting guy. I think Lakins, you know, I've always liked Lakins, but the problem with him has been, you know, control this year. However, you know, maybe he shows something in September going, you know, maybe he shows something in September. Some of these other guys, you know, I like to see Schwarren start. You know, I'd love to see a start from him, see what he can do out of the, you know, rotation as a major leaguer. Some of the other guys, you know, really don't, you know, I'm not that interested in, like, you know, Weber and, you know, certain guys like that. It'd be interesting. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, because I don't think they want to, you know, have the clubhouse flooded with guys. But, you know,
nor do I.
Trevor Kelly's also on the 40-man roster, and he's, you know, he's only pitched one inning for the Red Sox this year. So, you know, there's absolutely there to bring him up as well.
Yep,
and he provides a different look, as we've heard. When it came up in Toronto for that quick cameo, something, you know, changing gears for a second, that you were a part of the other day. I was just a rubbing again on a flight to San Diego, but you got to cover the continuation game at Fenway Park between the Red Sox and the Royals. The Royals came in for 12 minutes. They went down 1-2-3 in the top of the 10th. They lost on a walk-off Brock Holt walk-off double in the bottom of the 10th. There was 12 minutes. Everybody who was there, you know, people that got to San Diego were raving about it. People were saying it was the most fun they'd ever had at Fenway Park. And because we haven't talked since then, just kind of take us through what that day was actually like being there.
Yeah, quick. And as a writer, it was, you know, I was stressed out because I got, you know, they didn't have pregame clubhouse. They didn't have pregame Cora. And so I really got there because we were there late the night before.
Yep.
And so I actually, that was the night that I went to the hospital with my kids. So I was,
everything's fine, everybody. She's fine.
It's just, you know, new parents being paranoid probably, but.
Well, my parents are old parents and they're still paranoid, so it's okay.
So I got called away from that game, and luckily we had, you know, Jason there. But anyway, but I wasn't on until 3. So I got there right, you know, pretty much like a half an hour before the game started.
Yep.
I spilt the salad, which was not good. And then, like, the game starts, and I'm like, crap, I don't have anything written if this game does end in 10 minutes. And, you know, I had been on fraternity leave when the original game went on, so I didn't know much of what went on that game. So
yeah, it was horrible. Like, that's the long and short of it.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it does end in 12 minutes, and I'm just, like, squirming to get, like, you know, something written, you know, like 5 lines written, and everybody else is doing the same thing. So, you know, but I like the, you know, forget about the media aspect of it. Yeah, the atmosphere was cool. You know, there's a lot of kids there. You know, baseball has been an old man's sport of late, and there was a lot of kids there got to see, you know, baseball being quick and everything, so that was cool. But yeah, I mean, the place was rocking. But if you ask my parents, I mean, my parents actually came in, and they were like 12 minutes, what? And so, I mean, the fans that normally would come in would probably be disappointed, but everybody else, you know, had fun. I mean, they were running the bases. The kids were running the bases for like an hour and a half after the game, so it was fun for the kids that usually don't come.
Yeah, no, it definitely looked like a cool atmosphere, and it helped that it was a beautiful day. It helped that it was 12 minutes. The concession prices, I saw the lines for the hot dogs were ridiculously long, even after the game was completed. So that was ended up being a really cool experience. Just to fill you in on what you missed from that game, it was just a boring 4-4 game. I think the bullpen blew it, as always. Seemed like Eduardo Rodriguez had kind of a in-between start, no great storylines, and then a 2-hour rain delay after like a 3.5 hour game. I think it was like 12:40 when they finally called it. Alex Cora was already on his way home, and they called him back because they said, no, I think you need to do a post-game thing. We got him for a couple seconds, and he said basically, no Legoland, no SeaWorld for our players who wanted to go and explore San Diego on the off day. It ended up that they it only delayed them a little bit because they flew out right after that and then ended up taking 2 of 3 at Petco.
Wait,
a word
he
now.
Was on his way home?
I believe he was, yeah.
He should have just done a conference call.
Yeah, I was too late for that. Now a word from Indochino. Indochino is the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. They make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. If you're looking to get married, they have tons of options for those looking to outfit their wedding party. Guys love the wide selection of high-quality fabrics and colors to choose from, not to mention the option to personalize the details, including your lapel, lining pockets, buttons, and writing your own monogram. I just actually ordered my own shirt. It just arrived in the mail. Wore it on the trip out to San Diego. It was one of the anti-wrinkle shirts. I'm terrible at ironing, and instead of panicking and putting it through the dryer at the last minute, I thought an anti-wrinkle shirt would actually be better for me. Here's how it worked. You can visit a stylist at a showroom. There's over 40 in North America, including one on Newbury Street, and have them take your measurements personally, or, like I did, you can measure at home yourself and shop online at Indochino.com. It was very easy. Just took some measurements, plugged them in, and the shirt came out perfectly fit to my frame. You can choose your fabric inside and out, choose your design, customizations, submit your measurements with your choices, and relax while your suit gets professionally tailored and mailed to you in a couple weeks. This week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com. All you have to do is enter SOX, that's S-O-X, at the checkout, plus shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code SOX for any premium suit for just $369 and free shipping. It's an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit, and once you go custom, you don't go back. I would suggest, Chris Smith, that we see how you dress on a daily basis at Fenway. You might want to go with some Indochino because there are a couple things in your wardrobe that are horrendous.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was actually thinking about that. Non-wrinkle?
Yeah, I know. Rob Bradford, that he needs to get one of those.
Yeah, so you may have just gotten a customer.
Good. Well, enter code SOX at the checkout and you get suit for $369. Something that came up this week for the first time in a long time was the return of Dustin Pedroia to the Red Sox clubhouse. I don't know how closely you paid attention to it. I was there, obviously, and we talked to him. He was on a scooter around the clubhouse, like a kind of like a motorized wheelchair with his leg up. He had his leg completely wrapped in a brace, and it was the interesting thing to me. A couple interesting takeaways from his meeting with us at Coors Field. He said the surgery that he had, which was kind of like a bridge to a knee replacement or a replacement for the knee replacement, I guess, was because when he got home to take his indefinite leave, he was just going through his day-to-day things in life, throwing batting practice to his kids. He said he'd do that and wouldn't be able to walk for 3 days. That sounds horrible. It sounds way beyond baseball at this point. And he said the pain got worse and worse and worse until he eventually opted for that surgery. That surgery was not a minor procedure. He's non-weight bearing for 5 weeks. He's on crutches and a scooter. He has 2 more weeks in that cast and on the crutches, and then he'll begin a 12-week program to strengthen his knee. He said at that point, if the knee feels okay, he might launch a comeback. If not, he'll know that that's it. And another interesting thing he said he will need a knee replacement someday. Sounded to me like a lot of quality of life talk, and obviously kind of puts more credence in the idea that we'll never see him in a meaningful role on the baseball field again.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. You know, I just think that it's trending towards that way. And the interesting aspect of it is what the Red Sox do, you know, in terms of, or what he does in terms of the money and the CBT. I mean, I think that, you know, if he was to retire, he wouldn't get that money. And you know, the CBT wouldn't count against the CBT. The Red Sox could go out and sign somebody, you know, extra. You know, they'd have more money to sign people. You know, but you also have the aspect where he could do what Prince Fielder did, just stay on the 60-man DL, 60-man IL. And I think that the Rangers actually released him, but, you know, anyway, so they could get an extra 40-man spot. But anyway, I think that he is, you know, I mean, he obviously is getting his money, and I think that he counts against the Texas Rangers CBT, and also the Detroit Tigers CBT to some degree. So,
and maybe the Brewers too. Maybe he counts against all 30. Who knows?
So, you know, that will be an interesting aspect going forward. Is, you know, does he officially retire? Does he, you know, go on the 60-man roster for the rest of his 2 years remaining? I think that's you know, a good thing to look for. As I don't think that he will be back. I think that he probably, you know, I heard some of the things he said, and when you come home after you've done, you know, a ton of trying to rehab, and, you know, for 2 years, and you're trying to rehab, and you have these failed rehab assignments, and you go home, and you get to spend time with your two kids, and you have a big house, and you're rich, and you don't have to worry about money for the rest of your life.
Like you.
Yes, and so you don't have to worry about the money for the rest of your life, and you're enjoying your summer, you know, until the knee surgery or whatever, but you're enjoying your summer, you're enjoying your kids, you're enjoying your wife. I think that that probably shows him that, you know, he doesn't have to go back to baseball, and he'd probably be content. And an interesting thing that Francona said when he was in town, when, you know, Dustin Pedroia initially said that he was going to take a leave of absence or whatever you want to call it, was that he has, you know, he's at peace with, you know, if his career, you know, pretty much if his career ended, he, you know, he's in a good place.
Yep. And that was, I think, the most telling thing still is what Tito said that day when the Indians were in town. A couple loose ends here before we wrap up. The Red Sox heading to Anaheim. They're going to get a big piece of the rotation back. David Price will pitch on Sunday in Anaheim. They're going to cobble together a bullpen game on Saturday. Evaldi Friday, bullpen game Saturday. And then David Price on Sunday. If you are putting together a bullpen game or assuming Brian Johnson's not the starter, who would you have start?
So it's on Sunday?
Saturday. Price is on Sunday. Yeah.
Price is on Sunday. Okay. Marcus Waldy.
Okay. Why is that?
I mean, he's usually the guy that follows, you know, when Velasquez was at bullpen games, when,
yep,
you know, he's followed Brian Johnson, I believe, before. Forgetting, you know, Weber, he's followed some of these guys. He's been the first guy out of the bullpen. You know, if it was Sunday, I'd say maybe they, you know, obviously they probably won't fly everybody that's going to be a 40-man addition to the West Coast for one day, but, you know, maybe Colton Brewer, because he's also been a guy that you've put in after, you know, or maybe Schwarn, but, you know, he's also been a guy that you put in after, you know, after an opener. So who's your guess?
Maybe Darwinson. I think, you know, he has a little bit of more familiarity with the starter's routine, at least for a couple of innings than some of the other guys. Maybe Cashner. I think that can't be ruled out. They really haven't used him that much. So I think those guys are possible, but it'll be interesting. And obviously the big news that's causing at least some of this is that, you know, Chris Sale's out, but David Price is back. I think when that news broke on August 7th or 8th, you were dealing with a 5 or 6 day old at that point. So I don't know if you were too focused on it, but I think the fear was, you know, how long is this going to keep Price out? Really, nobody knew. It was kind of an unusual injury, a cyst in his wrist and not related to the carpal tunnel, but he wasn't able to grip his pitches. The cortisone shot seemed to have worked. He might have that cyst out after the season completely, but he will be back in Anaheim, and he's important. If the Red Sox can get the David Price they had for the first half of the year, that's a really good chance to win every 5 days. You add that to Erod, who's been good all year, Porcello, who's looked good recently, and the Red Sox all of a sudden are finding a way to cobble together a rotation even without Chris Sale.
Yeah, and, you know, they're going to that bullpen game, but, you know, when Price comes back, I mean, he was just, you know, lights out pretty much from midway through 2018 into the postseason, except for that one start against the Yankees, and, you know, for the first half of this year. And then all of a sudden, you know, in I think it was early July, he started, or mid-July, he started struggling. And,
yep,
you know, so, you know, he's an important guy, not only this year, but going forward, especially, you know, if you, you know, as we talked about in the last podcast, Chris Sale's, you know, up in the air, his status, I mean, you never know. I mean, he could need Tommy John surgery, you know, in the off season if this thing doesn't work, this, you know, shot doesn't work, or, you know, he could need it next season. So I think that, you know, David Price is an important part going forward, and a lot of people missed that when they wanted him to opt out after next year, because, you know, your pitching is kind of, you know, your starting pitching is really a weakness right now of the team.
Shockingly.
You know, if you look at Taylor, Hernandez, and Workman, they've really established themselves. So the bullpen has been awesome.
And Kastner's been pretty good.
Yeah. And, you know, I meant to write about it today. I meant to put it in my article today. I kind of examined some of the guys they could go after this offseason. But I also mentioned how, you know, they have a 2.4, I think, ERA in August. And that's been because of Taylor Hernandez and Workman being so good. But also Kastner, you know, he is an option, you know, to re-sign him as a reliever this coming offseason, especially if he shows something, you know, here, you know, in, you know, coming in September.
Yeah, now there's a lot of guys that have stepped up. It took a lot longer than I think they would have wanted. Brazier's looked also very good since he's been back for the most part. So, you know, there are some options. And like I said, this is going to be horrible for us, but there are going to be probably five or six more options added to that bullpen come September 1st. Well, now, the Red Sox odds, according to betonline.ag, they are plus 2,000 to win the American League. They are behind the Astros, who are the favorite, the Yankees, the Twins, the Indians, and the Rays. Red Sox are tied with the Athletics at plus 2,000, and the odds to win the World Series, the Red Sox are plus 3,300, also tied with the Athletics. They are behind this long list of the Astros, Dodgers, Yankees, Braves, Twins, Cardinals, Nationals, Indians, Cubs, Rays, and then they are tied with the A's there. Baseball season's almost over, but placing a wager on baseball has never been easier with the best odds at betonline.ag. This weekend, you can bet on the Red Sox and the Angels in Anaheim. Also, the NFL preseason is well underway and almost over. The NFL season is about to start. To celebrate another season kickoff, betonline.ag and CLNS Media are giving you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You can head over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to join today and use promo code CLNS50, that's CLNS50, to receive your welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines this football season. Get into all the action with betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. You can bet on two games at once, and this is one of my big pet peeves that this is happening. The Patriots are playing their season opener against the Steelers in next Sunday at 8 o'clock, same time as the Red Sox-Yankees primetime game like they always seem to do. If you want to do that on BetOnline, a minimum deposit of $55 is required to qualify for the bonus. You'll receive a 50% bonus on your qualifying first deposit. That's betonline.ag. Please see BetOnline's general rules for additional terms and conditions regarding the bonuses. So, Chris Smith, we'll finish with this. What are you looking forward to watching as the Red Sox face the Angels this weekend?
Mike Trout. I think that, you know, obviously Price's start, you know, that will be interesting to see how he bounces back, comes back from that. I'm looking ahead to next year. You know, I think they can use the rest of this season as an opportunity to see how guys, you know, can help out the team. You know, Moreland and, you know, Pierce are going to be gone next year. I'm looking at, like, Sam Travis, and I'd like to see him hit against some lefties. Some righties. And, you know, I obviously if Dahlbeck's, a guy that comes up, I want to see some of these guys. I'm going to love to see how Chavis kind of hits over the final month, because, you know, you looked at Devers and, you know, his struggles last year. You know, he went to the minors and everything on a rehab assignment for a long time there in August. And then he came back and he had a good final month and he had a good postseason. The power numbers were really up there in the final month. So I'm going to look at, you know, Chavis, how he does when he comes back. I'm going to look at, you know, Travis. I'm going to look at Marco Hernandez. I'd love to see them give some more time to him. Because, you know, Holt might not be back next year. You know, he's a candidate to be the super utility guy that Holt's been, or he's been, you know, or a second base, the starting second baseman.
Right.
You know, and then I'm looking, you know, at how some of these other relievers, you know, continue on, like Hernandez, if he can get, his walks down, Taylor, every time he pitches, it's interesting. You know, so I'm kind of looking ahead and thinking about next year, while also kind of focusing on, you know, the end of the year and if they can make the playoffs.
Well, there two of the things you mentioned there are going to be written about in the next few hours and posted on Mass Live. Brock Holt potentially not coming back, and then Rafael Devers, his stint in AAA and what it did for him. So thanks, Chris Smith.
Well, you know, it's actually interesting, just a
final on the whole thing. It's interesting because, you know, you do have guys that have shown that they can play the majors like Marco Hernandez. And if you want to save in certain areas to get better in other areas, you know, to give, to, you know, sign guys to long-term contracts, you might have to, you know, give up. And that's another reason why Hernandez, you know, could be a guy that they bring up instead of Dahlbeck, is, you know, they want to see how he does.
Too many Hernandezes now. This is Gorkis.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
That would be the third Hernandez on the team. All right. Well, that's your
The only reason I keep calling him Hernandez is because I have no, I had no idea how to pronounce his first name until
Gorkis.
Until you said it, then I was like, can I copy what if I screw it up? So yeah, all I keep